Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's May 15th, 2022. Welcome to the UAW Factory Whistle Show with Jimmy, Scott, Adrian, and Paul, and all the Hee-Haw gang, Carrie, 313. And got a lot of people on the switchboard already. If you'd like to join the show, push one on your keypad, and we will get you on. Scott, Jimmy, take it away.
Good evening, Scott.
What up, Jimmy? How you doing?
Not much. Had a great weekend. A lot of shit's going on, as you know. I didn't get a chance to fully consume that, 90-some pages of the rules for the election and the other things that they released.
That is correct. I haven't either. I've been working.
I hear you. Then you saw Hyundai announce they're going to open an EV plant in Georgia for the tune of $7 billion. I think that was announced today. And another thing I saw today that shocked me, did you see where Mercedes told 292,000 of its vehicle owners, stop driving them? I didn't really get into what's wrong, but there's something bad when the car manufacturers tell you to flat ass quit driving it.
And that was Mercedes? That was Mercedes?
Yes, Mercedes-Benz. And then I guess you, Scott, I don't know if you're aware of it, but here in Michigan, I think they said there was 16 or 17 plants that put their mask on Monday.
That's true. We are not one. It is.
Pardon?
They named the counties. We are not one yet.
Is it
right,
mandatory?
I know it was all down in the metro area and stuff like that. But then there again, like I said, I don't know. Is that to cover the smell of the shit? Because we got it in. There's no way this monitor's being neutral. I mean, you want to start talking some shit about this convention. There's no way he's neutral. No way in hell.
It doesn't appear so, but
let me get Adrian on, guys. Adrian, you are on.
Hey there, everybody.
Howdy.
Hey, baby girl. Y'all all right today?
We're groovy.
Yeah, I didn't read that article either about Mercedes, but yeah, they did. It said stop driving.
It was in the Detroit News. I just happened to pop on it.
Honey, don't drive our Mercedes.
Right. I hope people take heed, all those that have Mercedes. We want you to stay safe.
Yep.
Buy American. You can find one.
Yeah, and we need to tell people, do you know how to tell where your vehicle's made, people? You go up to your dashboard and you look down at your VIN number. The very first number in that is the country of origin. It should be with a 1. If it's with a 1, it was made in the United States of America. If it has a 2, made by our northern friends there in Canada. Like my black truck, that thing was made in Mexico. If you got 4, you're in trouble. That's from China.
Welcome, Canada, too. We've got a lot of listeners. I didn't realize we... Like 4.9% of our listenership comes from Canada, and that's really went up about 2 points. So thank you, Canada.
Wow, that's good. I mean, they share our fight.
Yes.
Yes, they do. They do share in that pie because they lost some work to Mexico and to China back in the day. You know, they've had plant closures. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hell, they wasn't too long ago. Oshawa was closed, right?
Right. Oshawa was closed. Wasn't that the last complex?
Yes. Now they're opening up. They're running your truck out of there, if I remember correctly.
Our truck in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, but, you know, that's okay. We can do that. I did see where the new union representing the Mexicans, they got 8.5% raise. So I guess their daily Gennaro is up to $27 there at the Solalis GM plant. Boy, them stockholders, that's why I don't want that Mexican truck. You know, you didn't give me a discount to own it. Why should I give you the profit in building the mother?
Well, yeah.
Right on.
Well, they got a 8.5. They're at what, $5 a day?
No, it said they, on a 10-hour day, they make under $25, and with this new 8.5% raise, they thought it might get them to 27 a day.
A day. A day. That's not even, that's only $2.70 an hour if you do 10-hour days.
Jeez.
Wow.
I wonder if, can they do the math at Solidarity House like we can here? I mean, I didn't even need a calculator to figure that, and I'm pretty sure you didn't either, you know?
No.
No wonder why they dropped the UAW. Look what the hell they've been getting paid all this time. The people in Solidarity House should resign, let alone be ashamed.
Or both. Or both.
We got 816. Let me get 816 on here. It's spinning. 816, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you tonight? Missy.
Hey.
Missy.
How's everybody doing?
Wonderful.
Good.
Tired.
How are you?
Tired and hot.
We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. It's hard when you work third shift.
Okay.
Is that Missy? Missy.
Yeah. I thought I was on a new drug.
Damn. I started getting a twinge when I heard the voice. I said, that sounds... I couldn't figure out where the twinge was coming from, if you know what I mean. I knew it had to be you.
Welcome back, sister.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How was the fishing?
That's good.
Good.
Well,
I'm glad you got the...
How's Frank?
Bob.
How's Frank?
Bob.
Yeah, Bob.
I got Frank right here on my
end. Yeah, he's not good. He's been fiddling with the lawnmower all afternoon, and the lawnmower's winning.
Uh-oh.
I got you.
Uh-oh.
That's no fun.
Nah. Something about the linkage ain't working.
Uh-oh. Yeah, my linkage doesn't work half the time at 67 myself. Oh, you're talking
about... Yeah, neither does mine.
Different linkage.
I bet there's been some cussing today.
Yeah, same concept, Don. Same concept.
That's my girl.
Yeah.
Hold on for a minute. We got a hard out at 8:00. I've got to put all my toys that I used outside away before it gets dark. Put them in the pole barn. I got a light that my big light out there is out, so I can't see worth a damn. May get start. So hired out at 8. Carry on.
Side note real quick. I worked with the fellow on second shift this last week. He is out. I mean, he's out in the country. He's between Byron and Howell, and his truck broken into. Said usually leaves the keys in it. They're out there in the country. They don't see nobody. That night he brought the keys in, but they went through. They got his checkbook that he kept inside the truck. He had some cash up on the dash. He took that. His wall was in there. So needless to say, next day he wasn't at work. He had to cancel cards and checks and all sorts of stuff. And they found a debit card and a credit card in Livonia.
Livonia?
Livonia.
Yeah, I'm on a website called Your Neighbors, and it's for around in here, and they're seeing a lot of strange people hanging around out here in the country, so, yeah.
And then the cop told him that. He says, we're getting people from outside the area coming in. So he said, best thing you do is just lock your vehicle, take all your valuables inside, and lock up your vehicle. So,
yeah.
That was just a side note. When you talk about taking care of stuff before it gets dark, you know, it's all over, you know. People can't find stuff, and gas this week went crazy. One place, it's $4.27 yet or $4.24 a gallon, and I go down the road, and it's $5.39.
I filled up my Suburban for $4.37. That hurts.
It's ridiculous what it is.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah?
I got all these targets around my yard with these bullet holes in them. I got no problem with anybody trespassing on my goddamn land. You hear me?
Oh, you a cheesemaker, huh?
Break out, Cinnamon, break out the shotgun, the 30-30, and the pistols. We got some shooting to do for dark. That's a good idea, Jimmy.
Just put a sign in the front yard that says firing range, enter at your own risk.
I love that one. That's a good one.
You know?
Walking my garage, there's one that says the warning shot's off limits due to the price of ammunition. The first shot's to wound you.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of crazy things are happening in this world today.
Yes, it is.
California, you guys see that just hours ago.
What happened in California?
Some goofball walked into another place in a church. Shot a bunch of people on church.
Oh, wow.
Not only a church, there was another grocery store shooting.
Yeah, 10 died last night.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, I believe.
What's wrong with
that? Yeah, that was
people.
Buffalo.
Yeah.
But wasn't there another shooting at another church besides the one in Buffalo?
Yes, this one
was
in Buffalo
was the grocery store.
Okay.
Yeah, that
was
a cop's grocery store. The one I seen was in California somewhere at a church during service.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know. What is wrong with these people?
I don't know.
They need God.
Or some hot lead.
Well, they'll be coming for guns again. So every time this happens.
What it's all about. They're keeping us on every war. I mean, you know, you think about the COVID shit and yet all the shit going on in the border. You know damn well ain't none of them been vaccinated, but hell, that's okay, ain't it? Now, I did find out something really weird. Now, did you guys notice about this baby formula shortage?
Yeah.
If you know anybody that needs formula, you listen to me. Go on Amazon, pick a Canadian store, and you can get all the goddamn formula you want. You know that Canada don't have a shortage. What's that tell you about both parties in power? We need to get rid of them.
Oh, they're all a bunch of shit.
I was going to say, if you are close to the border, just go down there and act like you're an illegal immigrant. They've got pallets full of baby formula.
Semi's full.
Yeah, that's where it is.
Somebody better ask you to hear there. So
I must have missed something about this baby formula, because I thought it just had to do with the powdered form.
No, it's every. I guess everything. Yeah.
Oh, it's all formulas right now. Hell, when I was in Myers the other day, the whole aisle was empty as far as formula. They had absolutely no formula.
Right. Wow.
Well, one of the things that we do know is that Abbott is here in Michigan.
Right. Yeah.
And
they closed that, did they not? I thought they closed Abbott in Michigan because of some shit.
Yeah,
contamination was coming out of for sure. So,
and they say it's all cleared up, but they're waiting for the FDA to open them up, and they haven't even visited the plant. They said everything's squared away now. They're ready to roll with the government.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard Joe's going to call some emergency thing and act the war or some shit. They're going to start producing baby formula, I guess. They did say that today, this morning, on Face the Patient.
I don't know what's happening. It's, you know, it's all sorts of stuff happening, you know. You got the baby formula, and you got our federal government, and you got food processing plants catching on fire or being closed, and this seems like a whole bunch of stuff's all happening at once, and it's all towards us.
Yeah.
Just like our UAW.
Don't you sometimes think none of this shit's happening by coincidence? I mean, kind of standing in a round room, we're getting hit bombarded from all sides right now. I mean, you got the workers, the weakers. Wikers, you name it. You got the Wiggers. I mean, we're all here, God damn. We're one happy family.
We're trying to protect we're trying to protect Ukraine's borders, and we can't even protect our own. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah.
They want to send $40 billion more dollars over there. We're in a proxy war with Russia now. And there's a statement put out by Putin. Everybody should read that statement. It is to the people of the United States. Yeah, it's to the people of the United States. Because we're not getting the real message. And it's not what we think it is. And I said, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which lie do you want to believe?
Exactly.
Bullshit.
Everybody want to tell us how to think. And it's like, yeah, right. Okay.
And there's a lot of weird stuff happening.
Ukraine.
Everybody wants, 2 weeks ago or 2.5 weeks ago, we just sent $33 billion. What's dollars going to do them? They're not making anything. What are they going to do?
And we're not in a war. And yet and still, we're sending all these monies.
Yeah.
But we got homeless and food deprived people right here.
Thank you.
And you're not trying to help them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't one side of the aisle. This is both sides. We got Republicans that's pushing like hell to get a war with Russia.
Yes.
So don't think it's one side of the aisle. It sure as hell isn't.
Well,
and if
know,
it wasn't for
you know
Rand Paul, Rand Paul stopped it. But it'll go through this week in the Senate. Mm-hmm.
But you know what I think? I think they all won anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, we got away from General Motors, didn't we? We got away from that. Sorry about that, Scott and Jimmy and the rest.
Yeah, Colin. Sorry.
Adrian and I get into conversation. Take it away, you guys. I apologize. That'd be Scott. That'd be you. Jimmy.
Hello.
Oh, y'all still here.
And like we said, but the biggest thing right now is, I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on where they're saying the biggest part of our union can't even hold an office on our international staff, and that would be the retired. Now, get this, people. I want you to think about something. They say we can't vote on a contract. We have no voice, but every goddamn new contract, you're taking something away from us retirees, and that's been going on since the late 80s. I remember that. Oh, we can't get nothing, so we'll give something up from the retirees. They got no way to retaliate. That kind of thinking is now screwing them because they're retirees now, too. So I hope all you son of bitches are sticking your finger down your throat and puking at the shit you started. But, I mean, I know retirees that haven't had a raise for 28 years. God bless them. They're five, but think about that. They're trying to live on the pension because there's no COLA, there's no bullshit. I mean, how can they say we can't vote on a national contract when they're still bargaining our shit away? Wake up, monitor. Do you hear me? First one.
There you go.
We should at least have a voice, which they do not give us on when they make concessions against the retirees. They should not be allowed to do that without a vote from the retirees. You take a vote from the active members for concessions for them. So are you saying that we're not wise enough or we're not knowledgeable enough to be able to vote for our own affairs? Only the executive board knows what's best for us retirees? Is that the thinking?
Yeah, we got JJ or Kerry on the line also, but go ahead, Adrian.
It's JJ.
Okay, JJ.
Hey, JJ. Yeah, I'm just trying to understand that.
Well, you know, Adrian, it really wouldn't be an issue if, just like some of the other unions, they didn't take away $1,800 when you start receiving Social Security from the
pension. Sure.
You know, that right there would be a huge help to the retirees, that alone. And none of, well, several of the other unions out there get their full pension up until they die. We don't. That's just wrong.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, we earned it, for God's sake.
And on top of that, the active workers are paying for the health care for retirees. Corporation can't get nothing in, right?
That's correct. That's why the temps are the ones that are truly getting screwed, because they're paying for shit they never even get a chance to even think they can ever collect. And that's another thing with all these shortages and these bonuses that they're not getting, because states are getting reset, clocks are getting reset, seniority's being lost. How can this union say they're representing the membership? They're representing the company. Plain out simple. Rory and Curry need to pack up, get the hell out of Dodge. I know Rory's gone, and I'm sorry. I actually think Rory was better than this guy, because this guy will look right at your face. He's a lot like Joe. I didn't say that. Take her away.
Wow.
Explain, you don't need to explain it to me, but explain it to the other listeners what you mean by they're paying for the retiree health care, because a lot of people don't understand that.
The temporary workers pay into Social Security. They're paying into all our benefit programs. They even pay union dues. But they don't get no union representation. They don't get a performance bonus. They don't get profit sharing. The only thing they get is if they do a good job, come back tomorrow. That's all I see they get. It takes 8 years in progression, but with this chip shortage, I don't know about Scott, but I know about seven people I know that told me that that's caused them to get their clocks reset to zero.
Yep.
Now, I talked to a lady in Lansing, and because of the reduced hours, her $12,000 profit-sharing check wound up being $3,100. But the newspapers don't say that, do they? They just say that, and then the corporation gets this great tax deduction or whatever, tax break. Everybody gets what they want except for the person doing the work. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Well, you're not seeing it wrong, because, you know, every time the company screws up, every time our government screws up and spends more money than they should, the ones who pay are the working class people. Our taxes get raised, or they go after, when it comes to work, they try to reduce our wages and benefits for their screw-ups. Why is it that workers are always punished? We, the workers, have got to come together, stand up, and put an end to this, because we're carrying these morons and their bad decisions, and it's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
Ugly.
It is.
It's almost they're rewarding them for their bad screw-ups by giving them tax abatements and different other tax breaks.
Yeah, they get to raise their prices to the consumer because of increased gas prices and so-called inflation, which we all know is for greed. Yet we're not allowed to ask for raises because our expenses are higher because of gas prices. Oh, no, you just suffer because you're an American and you're a worker. So you're worth less than everybody else. So you just keep your mouth shut. Oh, it infuriates me.
That's about right. You know, I put a quote in. Was it last week? I put a quote in that I borrowed from somebody else. About labor. Basically, if we put our hands in our pockets, what are they going to do? You know what I mean? We did put our hands in our pockets, and we didn't do anything. What would they do? So that's kind of where they're at. It's bad.
Well, they would have to start rethinking their position now, wouldn't they?
I would think real quick. Excuse me. Was Victor Reuther who said that we're the backbone of the corporation. Not only has the corporation forgot that, but I think the International Executive Board has forgotten that as well. You know?
Well, you know, it would be
that if every team leader across the United States went into work tonight and all day tomorrow, and just said, we're not running the job. The foreman can start the job up. We'll take care of everything else. I'll bet you they wouldn't get one vehicle out. They don't know how to even run their own plants without us. And that's a proven fact.
Right.
Well, they've taken so many bribes and kickbacks from the company, they forgot who they're supposed to be working for.
Right.
That's true.
Because our dues money pays a heck of a lot more into this organization than the corporations have paid into their pockets.
That we know about, John. You better put that as we know about, because you already seen what Ecobelli and all them got at Chrysler, and that's just the shit we know about. When it comes to jointness, like I said, when I seen they spent $37 million in the NASCAR during the 80s, that's atrocious.
Well, that's a good point, Jim. Thanks for I stand corrected.
Yeah, but $37 million in they're kind of in their heyday in the 80s, weren't they, Jim?
Yeah, but nobody knew that was going on is what I'm trying to say. And then you had, what was it? Roger Smith over General Motors screwing the employees over their profit sharing. If you remember right, we won that battle. What was it, 7 years later in court? And then whoever heard the case said, well, they didn't know how to pay the employees because some employees had left, so they just gave General Motors the only way to keep our money.
Right. you can't make this stuff up, I'm telling you. You know what I mean? And people never did get paid that money. Some people never did ever get paid that money, ever. You know? It's disheartening. But we got some important stuff coming up, okay? We got elections coming up for constitutional delegates. I see Kerry did not make it. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
No.
The caucus, unity caucus, I would say, all made it in after Trump.
Right. That'd been your friend, Don. He made it in. Right?
Oh, yeah. Nick
Catalis.
Catalis, yeah.
Yeah.
He was number one, the chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So nothing will change there.
No.
Mm-mm. Our election's on the 24th, so far our campaign seems to be going well for our caucus. We'll keep plugging away and see how that goes. Hopefully... we won't get any cronies from the Jeep plant elected.
Chris lost his election, didn't he?
What was that?
What's that?
I thought I seen Budnick lost and Mayhew lost, didn't they?
Mayhew.
I know Budnick did, but I don't know about Mayhew.
He lost also.
Okay. Anybody hear about that Trey cat? I was hoping he went down the toilet, but I can't find nothing out of, what is that, local 12 in Toledo? Garcia. Now, he's a pole jumper. I was hoping he went down bad. But I don't even know if they voted yet.
No, our election is the 24th.
So, JJ, you're with a caucus?
Yes.
And what caucus are you with?
UAWD.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And you, your election is what, the 24th?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I better make note of that. May 24th. Local 12. Be on the lookout to see how that goes. Local 12.
Oh, I didn't realize you're in the same place as Garcia now?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Funny how shit seems to congregate. I'm sorry, JJ, but I feel that way because your buddy there at 551, you better watch the Chicago papers this week because you're going to see a bunch of shit there because your caucus ain't too clean in Chicago.
All right,
that being said, your starch and your diapers.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we try to give everybody an equal opportunity on this whole thing.
Well, that's fine. I can leave the show right now, Scott. I'll see you later. Have a good fucking day.
Well, Jimmy, hang on.
He hung up. What happened? What happened here? Because JJ the UAWD, is that what the problem is? I don't see no problem.
Everybody has a right to.
You damn right they do.
You know,
I hope JJ wins his election.
JJ's running for delegate?
I thought so.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we wish you well.
Damn right.
Well, thank you.
And hope you make it in there.
The slate that I'm running with, they're some great people. They're fighters. And they're in it for the workers. They're not in it for themselves. And so that's why I joined with their caucus,
mm-hmm.
because you know me, I can't stand I can't stand anybody that's in it for self-interest. Mm-hmm. If it's not about the membership, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really good people down at Jeep. They are not friends of the International.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like everybody else. They're angry. They're fed up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we
and
get
they
another...
want a chance to stand up and do what's right.
Oh, mm-hmm. you can do what's right. 989, you are on. Is that Paul?
Greetings to rabble rousers.
Greetings, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody's getting fired up about the delegate election. I have mine coming up on the 26th.
And that's local 598?
659, amalgamated local.
Yeah,
659.
I'm running at the Medal Center. 26th, yeah. I actually got somebody else to run with me for about the first time in my life. It should be quite amusing.
Well, good luck, Paul.
Yeah. Well, it's always, thank you. It's always fun chucking stones at them. You know, they're an awful big target lately.
Yes, they are. See, JJ's running his election's the 24th. Yours is the 26th.
Yeah.
I wish you both all the best. I want both of you to win.
Yeah, there's always been a lot of militancy at Chrysler. You know, they've had a lot of good people there.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard. The one problem is you run with people that are good, and then they get in there, and they find out two things. If they pose with International and management wants, it's rough road to hoe. But if they do what the International and management want, life is easy and very lucrative. And so you need to find people that have strong religious or philosophical beliefs that won't compromise themselves once they've been elected. That's the hard part. And I haven't had too much luck with that.
Right.
That's
hopefully it all get better. That's all we could do is hope and pray and hope. Even
and
though some BS definitely vote.
Well,
don't go to vote.
I try to follow the example of King David in the Bible. He prayed, and then he went to war.
Yeah.
There you go.
A lot of people do not have a realistic idea of how hard it is to beat these people.
True.
You know, my elections I've run in, I always understand I'm, from the get-go, I'm somewhere between 300 and 500 votes behind right from the beginning because there's people that are so blatant in their support of the caucus. One of the things I always said that a strong caucus could elect a corpse to the shop committee, and that's basically what they do. And people need to realize how many votes they are behind from the beginning.
Right.
And then, you need to be realistic. After you lose your first two or three elections, you don't give up. You just keep going because the longer you hang in there, the more credibility you have. A lot of people quit after they lose their first election.
Right. Now, I should say something right now. Listen, when I started this show like 17 and a half years ago, we had candidates come on that were running against each other. But this show stayed kind of right down the middle. There's good people on both sides. I don't know. I can't stand saying both sides because we're all there for one reason. Both sides want the same damn thing. It's just how we get there. And if you want this group, person, or whatever, that's fine. That's great. If you, the other side, you know, somebody else wants somebody else, that's fine too. But this show is like neutral. You pick, you know, do your thing. And I'll back everybody. I'm backing everybody that wants to help the workers. And I know JJ does. I know you do, Paul. And I know Carrie does. Everybody on this damn, you don't come here every week and not want to help workers. You waste an hour and a half every Sunday through the winter, through the summer, and trying to help people. So I know where everybody stands. So, and that's how
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Don. You know, when I was at Local 723, I actually nominated a guy. He couldn't make the meeting, asked me if I would nominate him, and I was not a supporter, but I support the UAW, and I support the process. And I went ahead and I nominated him because it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
Everybody deserves their chance. Everybody.
That's true.
That's right. I agree. And
well, that's the beauty of our new system that we're going to have to elect leaders. Everybody will have a chance. Previous to this, only people that had a chance were the people who were members of the administrative caucus. From what I know of, in the last 30 years, there's only been two people that were outsiders that won positions on the International Executive Board. One was Jerry Tucker. He had to go to court because he got cheated at the election or at the convention. And he went to court and got instated as the regional director. And the other one was the guy from Ohio that won, and then they turned around and eliminated his region. So now anybody that works for it has a chance. But you're going to have to be realistic and really work for it.
Yeah, and this is what we've been wanting. We don't want no fighting. Infighting, that's not going to get us anywhere. Not at all. So,
no,
I'm sorry. Some people don't feel that way, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. Did you guys get a chance to read the monitor's report and the election rules?
Wow.
I started over.
It's like a textbook.
Yeah.
I know. It is quite thick. I got through most of his report. And it looks like most of the election rules are established. And I can only speak for my caucus at Jeep. I haven't heard of anybody else talking about it. But the monitor is giving us a choice that the delegates will have to vote on. And, of course, the delegates should, before they leave, poll their members to see where their members stand on it, and that is to choose between if in the event there's a tie or no clear winner and there needs to be a runoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got two choices. Have a traditional runoff where they'll select a date, mail out the ballots, count the ballots, and then announce the winner. Or use a ranking system. That means when we vote, we rank our number one, two, three, however many choices, right?
Right.
And so if our number one choice doesn't win, it will go to the person with the next highest ranking overall. So your second or your third choice may be the winner.
Oh, okay.
So that speeds things up.
Yeah, it would.
So that, yeah, so that your winner's declared right away, and the it saves our union dues from having to pay for another election. Are the pros for that? I think it's going to be difficult to get the full explanation out to people and explain that, but I think that as difficult as that is, it's the only right thing to do is, as delegates, get out there, talk to the people, write a daggone whole page explanation if you have to, so that the members understand, so that they can make a good informed choice.
It's a good idea.
Because as delegates, even though under Article 8, Section 25, the delegates are not held responsible to vote the way the membership wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
The little clause that the international, corrupt international put in there so that they could sway and influence votes, I personally think that that needs to be removed.
I think one thing was we should have at our conventions is roll call voting. So these people can't lie to their membership and say, no, I'm not going to vote for that dues increase, and then go down and vote for it, and nobody knows how their delegates voted for sure. I think we need that. It would bring, you know, you can, as far as like federal legislation, you can go online and or really find out generally just in the news how your congressman voted on a certain issue. And I think we should have that in the UAW.
Yes.
Right.
Should have been had that.
But we got to get rid of Article 8, Section 25 in order to be able to do that. Because that relieves all delegates of any responsibility to the membership, which is wrong. We're elected to represent them and be their voice. Well, by golly, we should be held accountable to be that voice.
No, I agree.
I agree with that, and that's why I think we should have roll call voting. So
I agree.
You can find out how your delegates really did vote. I mean, this voice vote is crap. You know, two-thirds of the delegates could vote against an issue, and yet it still passes because the guys up front say it passed.
Yeah, we got some callers. Let me get Carrie. I believe you're on with us. And
you can do the same thing.
260.
Hi, everybody. Basically,
greetings.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for putting your hat in the ring and giving it a try.
No problem. It's just the beginning.
Absolutely.
Just the beginning.
Okay, I'm going to mute 260 because there's too much background noise. Get somewhere where you're quiet, whoever, and I'll get you back on.
What was the area code?
260.
That might be Mary Sprinkowski.
Ah, oh, Mary. Ah, Mary. I haven't heard from her in 100 years. Is this Mary?
See my thoughts pop up.
It just depends.
You good?
Hello.
Baby, my God.
She's farting
and biting me up.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it is.
Most
I don't know.
260.
Hello. It's recognizing that.
You're on mute now.
I
don't know who that is. Mary is in the chat room, and it's nice to see her. And Ohio.
She was trying to turn off her speaker, and she got disconnected. So Mary, I'm trying to come back on.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Is she a Skype number by any chance?
I don't know. She was listening, and she said the guy from Ohio that we were referencing was Warren Davis.
Right.
He was the director of Region 2. The reason he ran
afoul of the administrative caucus was because he refused to retire due to his age, so they dissolved his region and created Region 2B.
Yeah. They dissolved the region after they had the vote.
Yeah.
440 was re-elected. That's the code you're looking for, Don. Sorry, Paul.
You got to push 440. One if you want to get on. Push one. Mary, you are on right now. And
hello,
and
gentlemen.
Get Skype on. Hi, Mary. It's been
Hi.
A long time.
Hi, how are you?
Very
yeah,
good.
It has. Everybody's been busy with life. And, of course, it was a pandemic.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm here in National Harbor, and at the National UAW CAP Conference. We just got done with the speaking. Ray Curry was down there, and I will say he did give a very good speech. He did reference the things that had happened in the past. And, you know, he understands people's skepticism. I'm going to be honest, I'm still skeptical. Okay. I have, from the time of Jokic, I have seen too many things happen. And so they're going to really have to go out of their way. And he said, you know, when he was asked, well, what makes them different from everybody, from the other people, he says, well, we're still members of the UAW and they're not.
Mercy.
And, you know, I you know, for in that case, I've got two words for him, Jimmy Settles. Okay, he wasn't indicted. Doesn't mean that he didn't partake or participate. He just wasn't caught or nobody squealed at him. You know, until I see some meaningful changes in the union, and that includes everything that was suspended originally for the life of the agreement during the 2008 concessions, until everything is back on the table and we have renegotiated that and then some, I don't want to hear anything from them. Until they do their jobs, I don't want to
hear
anything from them because they have forgotten who is the highest authority in the union? The membership. And they work for us. We don't work for them. And they need to remember that. And sometimes they get a little complacent and a little full of themselves. Now, we're seeing something different, but is that because of the effect of the government oversight? You know, I don't know how this, you know, I have been an advocate for 31 years of the referendum vote, and I am still an advocate of the referendum vote. And right now, I don't know enough about anybody that is running that I would trust to lead me. There is one person in National Ford that I have confidence in, and that's Chuck Browning. And I have no problem saying that. I've known Chuck for 31 years. I do have confidence in his ability, and I have a great deal of confidence in his integrity. All of the others, no. Nope. So,
unfortunately, I can't agree with you on Chuck Browning because Chuck Browning came down to GM Romulus, and he swore to the members there when they were out on strike. Because I went down to support him, and I was walking the picket line with him. And Chuck Browning said that he was not going to allow a contract to be brought to them that wasn't a good contract, that a winning contract. He lied.
Okay, I don't know the particulars of that. I apologize for not knowing that. You know, I follow the Ford stuff pretty closely, but so I apologize with that. I don't know. I can only tell you my personal dealings with this person.
And Chuck Browning was also the right-hand man of Dennis Williams.
There was a little bit more to that. Chuck Browning was basically locked in a broom closet. And I know, you know, my brother Michael is a benefits rep up there. And, you know, he and I will argue back and forth about the referendum. And, you know, I've talked to some old timers. You know, my dad's a retiree. My husband is a retiree. And I knew a lot of those people very, very well. I've been around this my entire life. My dad was the guy that they held back from decking Leonard Woodcock at a convention one year.
Wow,
all right?
That's amazing.
So,
the past.
I'm telling you, you know, it was really funny because that was one of the, that was how he met some other people in that. And my dad was a bit of a hothead, and I knew Jerry Tucker and all of those guys. And, you know, I've seen people that have been, you know, fiery in their rhetoric, and then they get brought on board and everything like that, and they sell out. And they, you know, I hate the Constitutional Convention, the con, as I call it, because it's like a massive vacuum sales convention. Everybody's sucking up trying to get an appointed job. I call it the Hoover Convention.
4 minutes.
You know, and I was also the person that stood up at the back of Cobo Hall screaming at Ron Gettelfinger that this union was run by Robert's Rules of Order, not Ron's Rules of Order. Found out I don't need a microphone or anything like that, but I did bring my own bullhorn just in case. You know, so, and I'm watching this. I am not running for convention. I will say this. My father is from the retirees' perspective. So I'm waiting to see what happens with this. And our local hasn't taken their vote yet. I want to see what the rank and file does. You know, there is a strong push right now that we need to capitalize on. There is a strong pro-union sentiment growing because people are tired of seeing the Jeff Bezos and the others like that that are making so much money that they can buy social media platforms or get a rocket to the moon or something. Yet they're working in they're doing backbreaking labor and they're getting pay cuts and they're getting hound dogged and that. Our biggest thing, before we can hope to move this membership forward, the first thing we need to do is we have to educate our membership, and we do not do a good job of educating our membership. And that has got to be our primary focus. We have to educate them so that they know why they want to be part of a union. They want to know why the UAW is the greatest union on the face of the earth. Because otherwise, all they see it is a boondoggle for somebody to go and take $80 out of their check every month.
Mm. Hear, hear. Very few union members realize we haven't had real elections for leaders. They think they have a real election at the convention, and we really don't.
No, it's all done by their delegates. And I would question their delegate system. Why is it all their appointed reps and everything like that, their kids and everything like that, they get put on to be organizers and things like that? Why are they delegates to the convention? Who elected them? Right. You shouldn't be a delegate to a convention if you're not duly elected by the rank and file.
Right.
Where's the oversight at that?
There's
with
a one-party system.
No, there never is. That's called dictatorship, totalitarianism. You know, and that's what we need to be looking at. You know, David, I'm going to be very honest. Ray Curry gave a very moving, very inspiring speech tonight. I'm going to get a copy of it. I think it is worth all of us listening to. His words are very, very important to hear. It could have been anybody saying it, but it was very, very meaningful, and it was a good speech. I am going to be honest. It was an excellent speech. It hits at what we need. Excuse me. I've got terrible allergies, and I'm suffering from a sinus infection. But I'm not saying, I don't know who's running for what. For the executive board or anything like that, I don't know who I'm going to support at this point because I haven't looked at who all the candidates are. But you're very right in we've got to start electing these people on a local level. Stop electing your buddy. I'm glad he bought you a drink at the bar. Why didn't you go? And I'm glad that you got a committeeman who's a nice guy, that you see him every day. But what has he done? That is what we've got to be asking these people. What are these people doing? What are they doing to make a difference? What are they doing to make it better? Showing up every day and being a nice guy while agreeing, well, the company has the right. Do-de-do-de-do. No, they don't. It's subject to the provisions and regulations contained herein. Is the second part of that sentence. They cherry pick on what they read. You got to read. Don't read. The basics of contract law are: don't read into it what is there, but don't read out of it what is. All right.
Absolutely.
And remembering, the naming of one precludes the other. So if something is very specifically named, then you know. If you have the qualifiers and the quantifiers, A means one. The, shall, may, might, must, will. These are things that are important. Know how to read your language. It's a great book out there that I had from high school. I get a new copy of it every time it comes out, Word Power Made Easy. We need to know. We need to be our words are our tools. We need to be doing this. We need to be standing strong. We shouldn't just automatically, I'm going to vote for this guy. Well, he's the chairman. Surely he should go. I'm going to vote for this guy. He's the president. Shouldn't he go? Well, what about the bargaining structure and everything? No. Why should they go automatically? Who are they?
I'm sorry. I just want to say they're the same people that went out and sold you a crap contract.
I haven't voted for a contract since they did the tiers. And it's like, right. I'm going to tell you right now, don't anybody bring me a contract that still involves having tier wages. I got 31 right. years. I'm eligible to retire. Okay? Don't anybody bring me a contract that still has tier wages in it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it because I'm not going to vote for it and I'm going to campaign against it.
Right.
But it did. It passed nationally. It did pass.
I understand that because you know why? They dangled that little carrot out there. They saw that signing bonus and everything like that. And everybody thought that they were going to be rich for a weekend. And now they're coming back and it's a, you know, man, this contract really sucks and everything. What, did you vote for it? Well
right.
yeah, you know.
I agree. That was them people. I voted no, and I showed people a picture of my vote that I voted no. I agree. That was their part. But the other part.
I have no problem doing that.
But the other part is the big problem. You had leadership that brought a shitty contract to people across the board. They agreed to bring it.
Okay.
It to membership.
All right. And that's fine. You send them back. You had a membership that voted for a shitty contract is what you had. Okay.
I agree.
And let's start taking some responsibility and bearing some of our own culpability in these things. Because we're the idiots that elect these people. We are the idiots that go and vote for these contracts.
You know,
I agree.
We don't know whether we actually vote for them or not. We don't have any ballot security for contract votes.
Oh, my God. And Michigan is the worst for that.
I mean, you don't have any membership doesn't have a right to have observers there to see if the ballots have been counted properly. You know, what was it? Stalin said that it doesn't matter how the votes are cast. All that matters is who counts the votes. And that's,
you can apply. Why then get it put into your local bylaws? Because that's where you would go. You get it put into your local bylaws that you want to count the contract votes, and you have a challenger there.
That's difficult to do because I spent two terms on my unit board, and you can't get anybody to the union meeting that's not elected or appointed.
Okay, then whose fault is that? It's the memberships.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I go back to we don't educate our members.
Yeah. Well, I think
they don't know why it's important to them.
Yeah, I think those of us in the movement.
Don't forget to take a look at that we have members that really don't want to be educated.
Sure.
Because there are a segment of people that don't read for themselves. they rely on people telling them.
Right.
Because they're lazy. So people are lazy. Mm-hmm. And we have got to start talking to people and showing them. And I really do believe that if people see this, that it will start to make a difference. Right now, you've got to remember something that was said a long time ago. Apathy is the sincerest form of protest. And that is what we're dealing with, is tremendous apathy. And that is their form of protest.
My problem, Mary, is that the folks that have been in there, it's hard for me to believe they didn't know what was going on. It's just
they knew.
And they
I don't
did
believe
nothing.
It.
They did nothing to stop
no.
it.
No. A lot of them were ostracized. A lot of them were drummed out. A lot of them were threatened.
Well,
you know, and I'm telling you, you know, and that's where, you know, people need to know that when they're, I remember when I was coming up, when I started out in the plant and that, if they went after somebody like on the sealer line in the paint department, you went after one, the whole department would walk out.
That's how it used to be in our plant. Okay. Yes.
And, it, you know, I mean, and that is what would happen is people stood together. Now everybody stands around and they start chuckling and everything like that. Oh, so-and-so's in trouble and that. They're more interested about going out with their buddy, the supervisor, hoping that they're going to get put onto an easier job or, you know, screw you, Jack, I've got mine. And until you change that mentality and you get back to an injury to one is an injury to all.
A lot of things changed when that man got fired at Chrysler for being on the sidewalk on his own time protesting. He got fired, and it took months for him to get back in, and he's got a gag order. And that's
I don't know about that. What was that?
I forgot his name now.
It was Alex Wetzel. Alex Wetzel.
Thank you, Scott. And he can't say anything about it, but it took, I don't know how many months, Scott, do you remember?
It was over a year, I believe.
Was it over a year? And I know he was talking to a guy, a Dick Tangent, and that's the only person he would talk to. But it took over, like Scott said, a year or over a year. And he was on his own time on a sidewalk with this protesting. And he got, that's what people, oh, we can't do that. We'll get fired. And the union will not get you back in.
No, and then on top of it, we've got our own union members. We'll turn each other on social media.
Well, I read social media all the time, yeah.
Yeah, and we've got some people that will go into labor and say, oh, so-and-so said this on social media. I want to file charges.
Yeah, it's all changed.
Well, it doesn't help. It doesn't help when you're so-called union leadership goes to the membership on a contract and tells them, don't worry about the guy working next to you. You vote what's best for you.
Yeah, and you're very right on that.
So you know, it takes years to develop a culture. Years. And Norwood Jewell's lawyer said that he was a victim of a corrupt culture, stating that the culture up at the International is a corrupt culture. Well, that took years of breeding to make happen, and they're not going to change overnight. As a matter of fact, the only way that we will see a change overnight in the culture of the International is to vote all new, get rid of every single one of them, and put in all new people.
Amen.
That will
Amen.
Immediately change the culture.
I don't think we should support anybody who's been at all involved in the administrative caucus, because they are either direct participants or they sat by and let it happen because they were more concerned about their place in the pecking order than they were about the good and welfare of the membership. I'd rather vote for people who've been out there chucking stones at them for 20 years, taking their knocks, you know. All of us who've been dissidents understand that it's a tough row to hoe. There's a very complex system of rewards and punishments built in the system. If you go along, you get rewarded. If you resist, you get punished.
Hey,
and Mary,
I'm essentially blackballed by them, so I'm essentially blackballed by the union, so you can't go by me.
Right. Mary, I agree with you about the education, 110%, because a lot of the fluff that they're teaching doesn't teach the real ins and outs of how things are supposed to go.
Yeah.
We don't have standardization. We severely lack good mentoring and education for upcoming representatives like Stewart and Matt, how to properly write a strong grievance and to be able to use all wording.
Look at our elections. Look at how nasty our elections in the plant, the things that we do to each other. Why would people want to go and do that? So you also have a lack of talent.
Well, that is also true. I mean, there's people that go for selfish reasons, not because they're capable of properly representing the members. But, education take a lot of work. And it's going to take a lot of work from the leadership to reach out. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing about, oh, well, we can't get members to show up. Well, you know, when the members came to me, I went to them. And I rallied. And I asked. And I hounded and said, hey, this is important. It's important because this. It's not just important to me, it's important to you, and you need to be heard. If you're tired of it, then let's stand up and change it. Change it if you don't do anything, and all you got to do is show up and vote. So, you know, if I can do it as a union member to pass bylaws and other issues at the local level, well, then why the hell can't our representatives do the same thing? If there was true education and if there was honesty and transparency, they would be able to openly tell the members, hey, this is what we got coming up. We need you to show up. They don't want an educated membership because an educated membership will now become a threat to their control. But I think nothing speaks better as an organization when every single member from top to bottom is empowered, powerful, and educated. Nothing makes the organization stronger. As a leader, you should never fear that. You should be embracing members who are empowered and work to empower and educate others. That's going to bring about solidarity.
You know,
that's
when I
have to bring about a force to be reckoned with.
When I hired in 1978, I didn't just go into the plant. I had orientation. They told me what the UAW was all about for a week, and they stopped doing that, of course. And now people just get hired in, they throw them on a job, and nobody, you know, they don't know the history of the UAW.
Yeah, we need
that
week
orientation
back. Yeah, we've got to get that week back.
Well, the union leadership is not interested in building solidarity. Solidarity breeds resistance. And they've been telling us for years the way to have prosperity and job security is not through resistance, it's through cooperation with a company. And that's a big fallacy. But they've been pushing that scam for 40 years so they can get joint funds to create their appointed jobs to give to their kids at Solidarity House.
But if you're aware of your history, history clearly shows that all union wins were made through resistance.
That's
and
it.
Fighting
right.
for what we deserve, not cooperating and bending over and being subservient to the company.
Right. Well, you can take that quote of Walter Reuther where he said you can take everything the company gave you and put it in your eye and won't make you blink. You know, the company... Well, you can see what the company wants to give you when you look at these contracts, you know, these tiers. The sad thing about it is that it's not just the company that thinks you're not worth much. It's the union leadership.
Well,
they put a value on
labor
that's about half what I – pardon me?
That's where our major concern is. It's
right.
about our own. It's about
right.
our executive branch not
right.
being supportive of the membership as they're supposed
exactly.
to be.
Right.
Well, I do think that there is a bright side. I think that there is a bright side to this because I've always said that I believe in and support the members. And, you know, back in 2011, 2015, there was a huge, huge number of new tier two and temp workers. Now, I know that there's still a large number of temp workers all across the nation, but there's enough that there's enough tier two members now that have been screwed over since 2012, and they've been around long enough to that they're catching on.
Yeah.
And I've seen some that are starting to become more vocal, and
yeah.
I see that as a positive, as a good sign to help us move forward and on these next contracts be able to stand in solidarity and fight and say, no, no more carrots, no more bullshit.
Yeah.
You're going to give us back what you promised us and then some because we've earned it.
Yeah. Well, people need
Record
to be
profits.
Educated to the fact that the bigger the signing bonus, the worse the contract.
That's right. And now it's clear. The evidence is out there for everybody to see. And most people know now that they have had 13 consecutive years of record profits. There's absolutely no excuse
right.
other than what they'll try to do with the electric vehicle
right.
failures
right.
and claim that, oh, you know, we lost money, so we you know, we can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I ain't buying it.
Well, we're not responsible for their poor
profits.
Planning. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, another group that's been screwed is retirees. If you retire at age 55 and you live to age 90, your pension will remain the same. You'll be collecting a pension that's worth probably 20% of what it was worth when you retired. It's hard to find a happy retiree unless they're a retired international rep.
Right.
That's right. We got about 10 minutes to go, guys. So let me try 260 again. And 260, you are on. Area
Hello?
Code 260, you're on.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Oh.
Is that somebody?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well,
it's Adrian.
If that is it.
Yeah, it's me. But I mean, I don't know who 260 is. So
oh,
Jeez.
I thought that was 260 answer.
I'm glad it was you, Scott, not me.
we need a little comic relief.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. There's all sorts of different views on this.
But I will. I will listen to the speech. I will listen to the speech.
Yeah, I hope he wrote it himself.
Well, they've always been good talkers.
That it wasn't professional.
Well, like I'm saying, it doesn't matter who delivers the speech. The words of the speech were good and could apply to everybody in the union. And just listen to those words. I don't care who says the speech, but listen to the words. The words were good. And it is something that we all need to look at and everything like that. Yeah, I'd like to know if he wrote it himself too, you know, but that's me because I'm nosy.
It's a little bit more than being nosy, because this tells me about where this person really stands. Do you really mean what you said?
Right. Talk's cheap. Action's what matters.
And then the fact that I feel that he was a part of the collusion.
Right. Me too.
Well, you know, Gary Jones gave a great speech, and so did Dennis Williams during their constitutional convention. And
two guys I never liked, but that's just me.
Whether we like them or not, they gave good speeches.
Williams,
they did.
Yeah, but I never warmed up to them or anything like that. And I'm just putting that out there. I never bought into any of the crap that they were selling. Like I said, I'm at this conference. I will be posting stuff. I've got to hang up here shortly. I will be posting stuff, and I'd be happy to let anybody know. This is an entirely different thing. This is a CAP conference. This is about our politics and that, which we've got a lot of stuff that is facing us. You know, this was a weekend for a lot of protests. And there were some tremendous tragedies. There's been a couple more shootings, and there's a lot going on right now, and that's what this conference will address. And that I will remain in touch and let you guys know what I hear.
Oh, I
Thank
hope
you,
I
wish everybody the best of luck in the upcoming elections.
Okay, don't
Thank
be
you.
A stranger. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Mary.
I won't. I will listen whenever I get a chance. My thing is on Monday mornings, I have to get up at 2:30 in the morning, so sometimes I'm asleep by the time this is on.
I don't blame you.
Wow.
Blame you a bit.
Well, between this and city council, I hit the ground running very early.
Well, I imagine. I forgot.
So,
I forgot you're on the council. I forgot. I know you won.
And I'll be running for mayor, so... That just adds to it all. So
you got a lot on your plate. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
good luck to you.
When
you
get a chance.
Thank you very much. You'll be the first female mayor.
Let us know what's going on when you have a chance, when you slow down a little bit.
Yeah. I just to the membership, go and look up how Intel came to Ohio. It was an auto worker that did that. I'm the one that sent the letter to Intel that brought them to Ohio in the first place.
Oh, very good.
I sent that from the shop floor. That's what an auto worker can do.
Amen. Very good.
All right.
Right
on. Take care, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Solidarity.
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 Mary
Solidarity.
Well, very good. I still say, I'm sorry to say, if you were there when all this shenanigans were going on, I'm with Paul. They all got to go. Every one of them. Because they all knew.
I agree with that. Wasn't it a disgruntled secretary that started the ball rolling?
I really don't know.
That's my understanding. I don't think it was anyone within the system that filed the initial complaint.
Now, I've heard that before.
Actually, it started. It started because somebody who paid Holyfield
for a job at Chrysler got fired and said, you can't fire me. I paid for this job.
Yeah, took somebody from Chrysler out too, somebody in employment. It was with Holyfield, whatever his name is. Both of them got.
And so that kicked off the investigation, and they kept finding more and more.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a member of the international staff that complained about it. They'd all be feeding at the trough still if it was up to them.
Oh, yeah. No, they would all still be feeding from the trough if it hadn't been for that one member getting fired because he paid for a job, what was he paying, $2,000-$3,000 to Holyfield for these jobs?
No.
And Holyfield would pay somebody in Chrysler management, and it was two of them. It was two people. It was Holyfield and somebody else, and of course, the guy in management.
Icabelli.
Icabelli.
Because Holyfield was doing that before Icabelli.
Yeah.
Well, he found it easier if he had somebody that could get him in right now, get the person in.
Norwood walked into that mess.
$50. You paid $50 to get a job to a couple of thousand. That's really something.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how many he got in, but he made a lot of money on it. I understand.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
But he didn't to spend it, live long enough to spend it.
Nope.
All righty, well, I'm going to get out of here. It was wonderful talking to you all as always. I miss you all. I wish you all well all week. Well,
keep getting A's, my friend. Keep getting A's.
That's right.
We
keep
like
A's.
Brian, I got one final coming up this week on Thursday, and then the other two finals the following week. So.
And good luck on your constitutional convention run for the delegate.
Yeah, that's
yes. Yep. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right, I love you guys. Have a good night. Have a good week.
Take care of yourself, buddy. Keep those days coming and win. That's our buddy. Part of the show. Been part of the show for a long time. Go ahead. I'm interrupting Adrian.
When's Kerry's election?
It already happened last. It was Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, the smart people at Local 600 decided to put Nikki Catalis in. You don't know where that's going to go.
Yeah, that's the truck plant.
Yeah, old Nick. I grew up with Nick. He lived right down the street from me. We grew up together, and he's a little younger than I am, a couple of years. He's a con artist. I know that. He was a con actor. He's got to be a better con now.
Nice smile.
Greeks have great smiles. The only thing he taught me in Greek is kako kononakis nefaskata. And I won't say what that is. But I got to throw that dirty word around to a couple teachers once in a while. They just looked at me like stupid. But anyway, everybody, you have a great, great rest of Sunday and the rest of the week. Stay safe. And we will be back Sunday night. And,
good night, Rabble Rosers.
See if we can get Jimmy, to calm down a little bit.
He'll be back next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
Kerry,
everybody.
Good night. Sonny,
and I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of Kerry. And Paul, kick some butt, buddy.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go home. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time.